Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
And good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're at, or possibly good evening if you're somewhere else around the world. Welcome to the Spring Break abbreviated edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. And I'm your host today, Coach K, Ken Schultheis, on the air. And Joe, my sidekick, or I'm his sidekick, depending on who you're talking to, Joe is on his way back from Miami, Florida. He was at South Beach hanging out with his family and his daughter, Ryan, who is a assistant volleyball coach at Florida International. And they went down to visit and spend some time as a family, which is always wonderful. And they're on their way back right now. I asked him to try to get an interview with LeBron James, but Joe was not able to pull that off. I think it's because he was on the sands of Miami Beach, and I know LeBron James had just got done getting back from Chicago, where the Bulls took them out and eliminated the Miami Heat from the second longest NBA win streak in history, next to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know we spent a couple days, at least if you follow sports and basketball, especially the NBA, you would have been hearing LeBron complaining how mistreated he was by the Chicago Bulls and the officiating. And, you know, it's probably tough being 6'8", 6'9", 240 pounds. I mean, a true mountain of muscle, and being able to handle all of that. And he probably doesn't get some of the calls that he should. He probably doesn't get the opportunity to shoot free throws as many times as he possibly could. His shots are altered at times. His body is pushed. You know, he's a freak when it comes to the game of basketball. We had Magic Johnson, of course, in the 80s and early 90s, but the difference is that LeBron has just a little bit more skill, wide-range skill to his game. And I know there are people, you know, from that generation of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and then Michael Jordan, who are going to say, Coach K, you're crazy if you think LeBron James is that much better. I'm not saying he's that much better, but he brings to the game a skill set that's a little bigger or a little more expanded than what we've seen. He handles the ball so well. He drives to the basket so well. He's improved his outside shot tremendously. It's something special. And he does get beat around a lot. I mean, I'm not going to kid you. But I heard one NBA veteran official say that they probably don't give him certain calls unless it affects or alters the outcome of his shot. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of like some of the other basketball analysts saying a foul is a foul. I mean, whether you're 5'10", 150, 6'10", 250, if you get pushed, if you get shoved, if you get closed armed, it's a foul. And I think to not call the foul is not fair. I mean, you're absolutely saying because you're bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, we're not going to give you the call. And that's not fair. In some way, you're penalizing the player because he's bigger. And I've seen that on the college level. I've seen it on the high school level. You see it in the college game all the time. If you've been watching the NCAA tournament, there is very few non-physical or uncontested shots underneath, unless it's just a quick rebound dunk. I mean, the players are getting beaten around, and truly, unless it alters the shot, at least up top, they won't make the call. My question to anyone who watches the games or any listener would be, what does that have to do with it? You know, when I was coaching and at the different coaching camps and clinics I participated in, we always talked about, you know, the physical part of the game. And there's a way to alter a person's shot or alter their ability to score or alter their ability to make a move to the basket or alter their ability to make the pass below the arm stretch of the shot. You can push, you can get them with your hips, you can step on their foot. There's a lot of things you can do. So to say that unless it alters the shot, I think that's a little bit too naive. Any physical touching of the body where you're pushing against the momentum or pushing with the momentum of the body is going to alter the shot. So LeBron James, he may have some reasons to feel that way. But still, Miami had a great run. They went through a wide range of their schedule, teams that were struggling, teams that were good, teams that were exceptional. They caught some teams who had some injuries. But look at the Bulls. Bulls didn't have Rose. They didn't have Noah. And they were able to come to the game and get it done. And it was physical. I watched part of the game and saw highlights of the rest, and it was really a physical game. So, LeBron, hang in there. You've got Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and if you could get Chris Bosh to play as physical as some of the people play against you, things might go a lot easier for you when you're going on. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk NCAA basketball. There were four games last night in the Sweet 16, opening round of the Sweet 16 on Thursday. And, of course, Indiana did not get through the melee. They had a rough go of it against Jim Boeheim and Syracuse. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about the Miami game with Marquette. You know, did Marquette put it on Miami, or did Miami just not have what it took to get it done that night? You know, the game of basketball, everybody sees it differently. Oh, the defense was great. Others may see, well, they didn't hit the basket. You know, in Miami's case, I wonder if it was more they didn't hit the basket. In IU's case, they didn't hit some shots, but they struggled getting some shots, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Wichita State continues their Cinderella run. They had the perfect bracket to do it in. They still got it. They're tough. They rebound. They play defense, and they got a lot of shooters. But if you're like me, you're wondering, how did this NCAA tournament round of 16 especially look like? Just clear the divide the sea, and let's just penetrate to the basket with nobody helping in recovering. Just a lot of one-on-one basketball was being played. So we had some great games. Again, we'll come back and talk about that. We're going to go to break, and when we get back, we'll talk NCAA basketball. Again, this is Coach K. Joe's not with us. Today, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, the abbreviated edition, spring break edition, as I call it. Joe is not with me today on the show. He is actually coming back from Miami Beach, South Beach in Florida. He's actually on his way back, and he's with his family. He was down vacationing. Obviously, he gets a much, much bigger compensation from the show than I do. He can head down to Miami Beach. But we're back on the show, and we're going to be talking about a little bit about the NCAA basketball tournament and some of the rounds that went on. And guys, it was something last night. You had Ohio State in a thriller over Arizona. You had Wichita State continuing their Cinderella run, albeit the perfect bracket to do it in against LaSalle. You had a tough, tough shooting night for Miami. You know, if you watch the game, you can decide whether it was good defense by Marquette or just very, very poor shooting by Miami. I'll talk about what I think it was. And then we had the sad ending to a great season for Coach Tom Crean and the Indiana Hoosiers, a number one seed ousted, number one team in the country ousted in a tough, tough loss, tough game to the veteran NCAA coach Jim Boeheim and his Cues, his Orange Men. And we'll talk a little bit about that game as well. But in honor of my co-host and cohort and sometimes friend Joe, in honor of his commitment to Purdue, I'm going to play his little snippet that he always loves. Since IU is out of the tournament and the movement is probably gone down the drain, this is for you, Joe. Enjoy it. The movement. Yeah, there it was, the movement down the drain. One more time, just for Joe. Yeah, so now I don't have to worry about listening to that or hearing that from Joe. I took care of it. So for you anti-IU fans, which a lot of times they're Purdue fans because they don't seem to have any success in the tournament, the movement is over, at least for this year. And maybe if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about what's going to happen with Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo and you know, whether they'll be back to see what they can do or if they'll move on. But at this point, let's talk a little bit about I want to just spend a few minutes on Ohio State, Arizona. I thought that was a great matchup. I think Arizona has a lot of individual talent, some pretty good athletes. I think Sean Miller does a great job. You know, I can remember Sean Miller where he's a few years younger than I am, but I can remember when Sean Miller was just a little guy and he was putting on dribbling exhibitions out in Pittsburgh. He was a phenomenal young player with the ball. He could do anything with the ball. He was what you would call the modern-day Pistol Pete at that age. And he's gone on. He had a solid college career, and he's had a great coaching career. And he did a good job with Arizona. And I'll tell you, you know, the basketball is a game of runs. And we talk about that all the time. It's a game of runs. And you just never know how the momentum is going to switch, but you can be guaranteed that there will be changes in the momentum throughout the game, because it is a game of runs. No, I'm not talking about that game of runs. But it's a game of runs, and I thought Ohio State Arizona was a picture-perfect example of that game. Arizona came out and looked solid in the beginning, and then Kraft and Deshaun Thomas started to bring Ohio State back, and then they went into halftime, and Ohio State comes out hot and just does a great job of going on like a 22-5 run, something like that. Then Arizona makes a run, and then Ohio State is able to hold on. But I thought there were some interesting moments in that game. I thought the guard play was very, very interesting. I really thought that that Kraft showed up a part of his game that we really haven't seen. I mean, he really did a good job of making some individual one-on-one moves to the basket. And I was kind of confused on why Jay Wright and a couple of the other announcers were saying stuff like, well, that's really not his game. Well, it may not be his game on a consistent basis, but he made a couple of moves on the baseline where he pulled his dribble out, looked like he was heading back to the wing, did a step back or a spin move and went right back, took the whole baseline hole hard, and just made great moves to the basket. Now, he did miss a couple of situations out front where he found the seam down the middle, and he took the ball hard to the basket, and his momentum, he didn't control his momentum at the end, and he kind of flew through the play. I call it flying through the play, and he wasn't able to put the ball on the basket under control the way he would have. And Arizona had some individual players the same way. Just some phenomenal moves across the middle for dunk shots and things. But, you know, I was a little surprised, and maybe you guys listening were as well. Where was the defense? Where was the help side? Where was the rotation? And that's why I said the Sweet 16 games, other than maybe the IU game, most of it, turned into a lot of one-on-one basketball, and it was pretty surprising to me that the help side wasn't there. Of course, the game ends for Ohio State and Arizona on a ball screen out top. Kraft comes off it. He kicks it out to Quentin Ross, I believe, and he hits the three. And, you know, the thing that was interesting is last week he didn't kick the ball to Deshaun Thomas. He didn't even use the screen, really. And he went ahead and shot the shot. Good decision-making. Everybody that watched the game, every analyst afterwards talked about his outstanding decision-making in the game. But I think what stood out more for me was I saw the discipline of a Thad Matta coach team throughout the game and down the stretch. I'm not saying that Aaron Kraft makes a bad decision or Quentin misses the shot and they go overtime and they get beat. I'm not saying that couldn't have happened. I'm just saying that when things got tough in the first half, Thad Matta and the Buckeyes did not go away from what got them there. They focused on getting the ball where it needed to go. And Deshaun Thomas hit big shots. And Aaron Kraft made big plays. And then their role players, Ravelet and the different guys, stepped up and made defensive stops, got rebounds, did the things they were capable of doing. And what we saw is that other players on Ohio State, who obviously were recruited to a Big Ten school that's a top 10 basketball school in the country, I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise that these guys can make shots. It shouldn't be a surprise that they can make plays. I mean, they're Division I. They're being recruited by teams that go to the Final Four and the Sweet 16 and are coached by outstanding, not just coaches, but recruiters. It shouldn't surprise us that these guys eventually break out of their mold and they become the players they're supposed to be. You know, it was interesting. I was sitting with my 12-year-old son. He's in sixth grade, and we're watching an NBA game. And we're talking about one of the NBA players. I won't say his name. But he says, well, he's not that good. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and we're sitting there with my wife, and I'm thinking, we kind of look at each other and we're thinking, he's in the NBA. I said, hey, Scotty, I hope you're not that good. I hope someday you're in the NBA and you're not that good. Make it a lot easier on mom and dad. But I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that these players have been recruited on the Division I level to top 10 programs. If you're recruited to IU and given a scholarship, Ohio State, Michigan, Syracuse, Miami of Florida starting to butt into that mold. You're pretty good. And you're somewhere along the line, you've shown that you're capable of making plays. You're capable of making shots. You're capable of accomplishing things. So I think we get surprised because we hear about Aaron Kraft all the time, although he made some moves I have not seen him make, which tells me his game is starting to expand. And, you know, sometimes playing against other great guards or potentially great guards, such, you know, that you see throughout the tournament, Arizona certainly had a couple. You've got Larkin out of Miami. When you see these guys play, if you're really a student of the game, you say, I can do that. Or I can add that to my game, and you work on that. And we know, if you know anything about Aaron Kraft from Ohio State, you know this guy has just a tremendous work ethic. And if you're a young player or you're a parent of a young player, you know, if you can just get them to do 30% of what Aaron Kraft does off-season as well as in-season, they're going to develop as players. But again, my point is these guys are great players, or they wouldn't be recruited. Now, to what level they become on the college level, we don't know. You know, I happen to think that maybe Cody Zeller has not improved his skills this year. And what concerns me is that a lot of these schools are not hiring assistant coaches that know how to coach and teach basketball. They're hiring AAU recruiters. They're hiring these go-betweens. That are connected to AAU programs and players to bring these kids in that have these great abilities. But you know what, folks? You know what? You gotta teach basketball. You gotta improve your skills, and it's gotta be taught. And you don't have to be a great basketball player to teach basketball, but you have to understand the nuances, and you have to be able to coach it or teach it. And I'm just telling you, you know, I spent many years out at the five-star camps and teaching and at different camps. And, you know, AAU helps you to become better game players, keeps you in shape, try out moves, take shots. You maybe take some shots or try out some things you never would get to in your high school game. But you know what? If you don't spend time improving your skill set, penetrating with dribbling the basketball, spin moves, jump stops, shot fakes, sealing the guy on your hip, and then learning how to step to the basket, if you don't do those things, I don't care who you are, you're not going to improve as a basketball player. You can play all the games you want. And guess what? That's what kids want to do. They want to play games, but the Aaron Krafts, the Deshaun Thomases, they're working on their skills. And I guarantee you this, their teammates, Quint Ross and the different guys, Rowlett, those guys, they're working on their games too, and it's starting to pay off for them. So, big win by Ohio State over Arizona. When we come back, we'll talk about the other Sweet 16 games. You know, if you're a player out there, or your parent's got a player, they got to work on their skills. That's how you get better. Watch these guys play. I guarantee they just didn't make it up one day. They've been working on it. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and you're talking with, listening live to Coach Ken Schulteis, Coach K and Joe Show. Joe, of course, my sidekick, is on his way back from South Beach in Miami, where he visited his daughter, Ryan, who is a assistant volleyball coach down at Florida International, and he's on his way back with his family. He was spring breaking it. I said he's got a bigger compensation package from the Coach K and Joe show than I do, because I'm here doing the abbreviated version. And this is for all Purdue fans listening today or who will listen by podcast. This is what you're feeling about IU's loss to Syracuse. Yeah, I know. That's what you guys are doing. Misery loves company, doesn't it? Doesn't Joe, if you're picking this up? Misery loves company. And there are a lot of Purdue fans out there, a lot of IU haters, I call them, Kentucky fans. Kentucky fans are doing this too. And like I said, misery loves company. I know there's a young man who played for me when I was coaching in high school, and he was an outstanding player. He's an outstanding family man and a good person, Brian McAtee. He's a big Kentucky fan. And he goes out of his way to cheer and let everybody know when Kentucky wins. But when Kentucky didn't make the tournament, he went silent. And then after Syracuse beat IU last night, he puts a big emblem of Syracuse on there. He's quick to point out to everybody else when they mess up or when they jump to the other side. But, Brian, again, this is for you and all Kentucky fans, and how you feel about IU's loss to Syracuse. And we'll take that. As an IU supporter, we'll take that. But let's talk a little bit about the IU-Syracuse game. Again, you know, I've said that people see basketball differently. You can put two or three people there and watch a game. My dad, a veteran high school coach, outstanding high school coach, I might be sitting there watching a game with him. My wife, Janet, may be sitting there. My son, Josh, who's graduating from IU, might be sitting there watching the game. We all see what's going on differently. And I found it very interesting to see the responses from people today and last night over the IU loss to Syracuse. I thought it was very interesting how they saw the basketball game. You know, some people thought Boeheim out-coached Green. Other people said IU wasn't ready to play. IU's too soft. Well, it wasn't the defense. It wasn't the zone defense. It was that IU didn't shoot well. It was the turnovers. Wasn't the defense. Well, you know, I kind of see what everybody's saying, and I just have to tell you as a coach, as somebody who's, you know, been through coaching college all-star games and high school games, you know, for close to 15 years and in the tournament, it is the defense. You know, there are some nights you don't go out and shoot well, and there are some nights that you don't handle the ball well. But I can tell you that in the case of IU Syracuse, it was a combination of all those things, but there's no doubt that zone had something to do with it. And it's not that a normal zone would bother the Hoosiers. It will if you're not hitting the basket. But Syracuse's zone is unique. It's got some what I call man-to-man tendencies in it. He recruits players to play, just like Shaka Smart at BCU recruits players to play havoc defense, stiff man-to-man, chase you all over, run and jump, rotate, make life miserable for your guards. He recruits long. And when you hear the term long, for those listening, it's not just how tall you are. It's how long of a wingspan you have. And you may recruit a guy that's 6'8", but he has the wingspan of somebody 7'2", or 7 foot or 6'11". And what they do with that zone is they keep themselves spread a little bit, and it looks like there's openings there. There's openings to maybe pass the ball in. It's tough to pass over the top of their zone unless you're skip passing because they're long and they're tall. But it's also, for those of you who are watching, and I can give you a specific play, a pass that they tried to go down low to Cody Zeller. Nine times out of ten, that pass is there, and he's scoring maybe a three-point play, an and one. But against Syracuse, you have to be very careful of how you pass the basketball because of their long arms. They don't just go up high for the ball. They want you to pass into what you consider the holes in the defense. And they've got their arms out there, whether it's low, which is great defensively, middle or high, they've got their arms and they're reacting to it. And they can do that because that's what they do every day in practice. Coach Boeheim has been doing it for 30-plus years. And if it was so great, somebody's saying, well, if it's so great, how come they don't win the national championship every year? Well, come on. Come on. You're not going to win the national championship every year. And you can have a great, great year and just get to the Sweet 16 or to the tournament. But what I'm saying is Coach Boeheim's zone defense is consistent. And IU, whatever time they had to prepare for it, which they did have a reasonable amount of time to prepare for it, they weren't ready to do the extra things. And here's what I'm talking about in the extra things. The extra things I'm talking about is when you reverse the ball, which IU did, they reversed the ball. They didn't finish with some penetration into the seams or what we call the gaps. That would be around the elbow areas, some wing baseline penetration, or top of the key penetration to the middle. And what you do when you do that, you pull to two defenders. And when you pull two defenders, that opens up real holes in the defense. And if you're flashing people into the high post or flashing people into the low post, or maybe you've got a double high post set up, that's when you're going to have opportunities to kick the ball to them as they're moving towards the basket. And IU didn't get a lot of that. The other thing you've got to be prepared to do against the zone is when you hit that ball in the low post, short corner area, as long as Syracuse is, as tall and as long as their reach is, you've got to be ready to shot fake. And IU struggled with that because IU didn't do a lot of that. You didn't see a lot of shot fakes by IU during the season. You know, Zeller would get it. He'd go up through the defense, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But that was usually in man situations where both players were moving or somebody was running to help out. The zone is more stationary at times. And don't get me wrong, a zone has to move. You got to get the zone moving because it wants to be stationary. And if you let them be stationary, they take away holes in the defense and they take away opportunities to get easy baskets. So I don't think you can just say it was turnovers. It was turnovers. But it was the defense of Syracuse that caused some of those turnovers. You know, there were some other things. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people pointed out was the mismatch in guard, in sizes of guards. We'll talk about that when we come back from break. We'll talk a little bit about the guard play. And I think most IU fans were concerned throughout the season, would they run into a situation where using Hulls and Yogi Ferrell out there at the same time would be a problem. We'll talk a little bit more about the mismatches in the IU Syracuse game when we come back from a break. And as always, this is Coach K, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl-ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, the abbreviated spring break edition. Of course, Joe is not with me. He's on a plane flight back. He didn't get the LeBron James interview done. I was hoping he could maybe get Shaquille O'Neal, but he didn't get that done either. So, Joe, you were 0-2. We're talking a little bit about the NCAA basketball tournament. Of course, the round of 16 began last night, and we before we went to break, we're talking about the IU-Syracuse game, and really that's what's on most people's minds as far as listeners of our show, unless you're Josh Houchin. You want to know about Michigan. And, Josh, I promise we get a few minutes left. We'll talk about Michigan. And I know what you're thinking, Josh. You're thinking, Coach K, you've been on Michigan all year, and now IU's out and Michigan's still alive, although they haven't played yet in the Sweet 16. And this is what I think of all this. This is Josh Houchin to Coach K. We've had a lot of that this morning, the laughing snippet. And I know anti-IU and Purdue and especially Kentucky people who didn't get in the tournament this year are laughing this morning because misery loves company, right? I mean, isn't that the case? Misery loves company. And now Kentucky was miserable. Purdue's been miserable for several years. Kentucky's miserable. And now IU gets to be miserable with them. So, I mean, that's just human nature on this Easter weekend, as we begin the Easter weekend. Thank goodness our Lord and Savior died for all of us to give us some joy with eternal life. But back to the IU-Syracuse game. I thought it was interesting, the handshake at the end of the game. Did you see that? Did you see Crean kind of brush by Boeheim, quick handshake and moving on? No talk of good luck. Coach, you played a great game. You had a great year, Coach. Nothing. Quick handshake. And they walked by each other. I'm sure somebody knows what's going on. I'm absolutely sure about it. Maybe it's just that handshakes after a game stink. I'm not going to lie. When I coached, we didn't win the game. I wasn't really interested in shaking the hand of the person unless there was a relationship there that, you know, I just wanted to make sure he knew everything was fine and we moved on. I didn't want to shake hands after we won. I kind of wanted to slap our guys on the back and wave to the fans and get off the floor and get ready to go home. Get ready for the next one. Because that's what you're, as long as the season's going or you're alive in the tournament, there's a next one. And as a coach, there's very little joy, time to enjoy the joy of a victory because you got another one coming. But I thought that was interesting. The other thing that a lot of people have talked about is the mismatch in guards. And there was a distinct size advantage, and you can't necessarily blame IU for that. You can't necessarily say, well, Jordy Holes and Yogi Ferrell, they're too small. We were going to have problems before we got into all this. Well, they played pretty well throughout the year. They played pretty good basketball. So to go ahead and act like hindsight's 2020 and, well, what did he expect? Barely 6 foot Jordy Halls, and he is probably barely 6 foot because I saw him this summer up at IU at an ice cream place. I'm not going to do a free advertisement for the ice cream place, but it's a well-known ice cream place up in Bloomington, and he was probably 6 foot at most. And then you've got Yogi Ferrell, and the debate goes on whether he's 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". Doesn't matter. He doesn't play that small because he's quick, he's smart, he plays hard. Both players play bigger than their size. And a lot of people have made an issue about Jordy Hulse's shooting. Well, you know what, guys? The other team wants to win. The other team has watched tapes, too. The other team has the experience of an entire season to look back at a team and say, what do we take away? Go back to one of the earlier Coach K and Joe shows. Go back to some of the comments I made about Yogi Ferrell penetrating the middle, knowing that they were going to come up on him and bring help. And what was Yogi Ferrell doing? Come on, IU fans. What was Yogi Ferrell doing when he would penetrate hard through the middle towards the basket with no concept or focus on shooting? He was going to penetrate, draw the defense, and Jordy Hulse was sitting out on the three-point line on the baseline ready to shoot the three. And IU made a living off that early in the season. By early middle Big Ten season, that was taken away. They no longer were getting that. And IU made some good adjustments. Yogi Ferrell realized he had to score. And let's not get on Yogi Ferrell too much because the game before he scored the first 14 points, didn't he? So, you know, let's not be too quick to condemn Jordy Hulse and Yogi Ferrell at guard, who led the number one team in the nation much of the year and won a Big Ten championship. But we knew that matchup possibilities could happen. And if you're not hitting the shot, and with the length and size and tremendous zone defense, Yogi Ferrell wasn't going to get the penetration moves that easily. And, you know, when we talk about length, look at some of the plays in that game. It doesn't matter whether it's fifth grade basketball, high school basketball, college basketball, NBA basketball. Look at some of the defensive plays in that game where the length, the arm length of the Syracuse players, especially on the perimeter in transition basketball, they were able to knock passes away. They were able to get steals. They were able to take the ball and adjust, alter its movement on the court. They were able to do all of that. And part of that was the mismatch of size. They were tall. They were lanky, long-armed. And they had as much athletic ability or more. And let's face it, Syracuse shot the ball well. Syracuse has not been a good shooting team this year. Syracuse has had problems scoring. It helps a lot when their defense creates a lot of their offense, and their defense did help create some offense against the Hoosiers, but they also hit some shots. Early in the game, Syracuse tried to use the mismatch to their advantage. They posted up the smaller guards. They didn't have great success right away, but they hit some other big shots. They got some transition opportunities that IU had not given up. But wasn't it interesting how Syracuse was able to control the tempo again? When IU has had a problem in a game this year, it's when the other team has controlled the tempo. Now, this game, point-wise, was not to IU's advantage. You know, 50, 51 points. I mean, IU's a team that scored 80 points this season. So that wasn't where it needed to be. But Syracuse did a great job of controlling the tempo of the game, moving the ball up and down the court in transition, and yet when they were in the half court, they pulled it out. They spread the floor a little bit, not in a delay, but spread the floor to open up lanes for penetration and kicks. They were patient. Even when IU late in the game, IU started to was doubling, trying to create some turnovers. Syracuse was able to handle the ball. I think they had good experience against it. My gosh, they had to put up with Louisville in the conference. but they were ready. They were prepared. IU could not make the adjustments that they needed to make. We did pop some guys in the middle of that zone once in a while, but we just didn't get enough what I call pressuring the gaps of the defense by putting the ball on the floor and coming at the gaps. We're not talking about dribble penetration. We're talking about ball movement and then put some pressure on the gaps by penetrating into the seams, forcing the defense to collapse on the ball, and then being able to kick it to the openings. We just didn't get that. We didn't hit shots. We rushed shots, several shots in the post and in the short corner baseline area. We rushed them. We didn't face up. We tried to jump over or through the defense. And Syracuse did a great job of the person on the ball, went straight up, arms are straight up, and then they would bring a backside guy to swat at it. Watch the replay. They would stymie the ball or hold the ball up and then bring a backside guy to swat at the shot. So they created some confusion there. It's kind of like if you're in full court defense, here comes the ball on the hard dribble, and you step up to slow it down so the man from behind can come in and knock it away. That stuff's planned. That stuff's practiced. But the mismatches on the perimeter hurt. It hurt in IU being able to create offense, start its offense, find opportunities to score, and it hurt defensively. Williams had a great night. He just did. And Syracuse took the victory. So as much as we're down about it, the big thing is, what's the future of IU? What's the future of Oladipo? What's the future of Cody Zeller? What's the future of these guys? We'll talk about it and a little bit more than that when we come back after this break. You're listening to Coach K on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Quirby, go ahead.
Mayor, shouldn't we, like, learn by dodging balls that are thrown at us, or...
That's what this sack of wrenches is for. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Well, last night, Syracuse threw the wrench at the Hoosiers, and we just couldn't dodge it, and therefore we couldn't dodge the ball either, and it was tough. We got about 8 minutes left on the show, the abbreviated show. If you want to call in and leave a comment, 773-897-6325. We had several callers earlier, and I'm sorry I didn't get to your calls, but we will take a call or two if you want to call in, 773-897-6325. What's going to happen at IU? What's going to happen? Oladipo staying? Zeller staying? They were asked that question in the news conference last night. They asked both Cody Zeller and Oladipo. I thought it was pretty crappy. I got to tell you something. I'm not a media guy. I'm not a professional media guy. But I got to tell you, sometimes these reporters, They're ruthless, and they're gutless, and they're common senseless. And I thought it was in poor taste, after such an emotional loss to Syracuse, for the media, for that media representative to ask Oladipo and Cody Zeller what their future was going to be. I thought that was ridiculous, folks. I do not understand. And we wonder why people get mad at the media. I mean, these guys just came off one of the most difficult emotional situations that they're going to experience up to this point, and I'm not talking about a death in the family or illnesses, but this meant a lot to them. Number one seed, number one team in the country, get beat by Syracuse. It's not an embarrassment. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a basketball guy. I know what Jim Boeheim and Syracuse has to offer. It's not an embarrassment. But to ask them that question, so was this your last game at IU? Come on, guys. Come on. That wasn't the time. But I was so impressed with the way Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo handled it. I have to give credit to the IU administration, IU coaching staff for their preparation, and I got to give credit to their parents. And after you give credit to all those people, you have to look straight in at Oladipo and Cody Zeller and give them credit for being mature enough to handle it. I'll tell you what, can you imagine if they'd asked that to Bob Knight? I'm not sure how I would have handled it. But I can tell you this, Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller handled it well. And folks, whether you want them to stay or whether you think they should go, these young men handled themselves well and were great representatives, not only of their university, of their state, but of their age group to be in that situation. And again, I know the question. Everybody wants to know the answer, but I thought it was an ill-advised question. Did they give us any signals? I think they did. I think they gave us signals that they're considering going. And how could you blame them? How could you blame them for not going? Victor Oladipo, what's his upside if he stays? Possible run at another national championship? Okay. Possible injury? Possible subpar season? Look at Christian Watford. CW, C. Watt, as my son calls him, my son Josh, C. Watt. He probably should have went last year. I still think he's a good player, but I think his greatest upside was last year, and he didn't go. Victor Oladipo should go. You know why? Because he's worked his butt off. He's given everything he has. He worked his butt off to become a better player. He should go. He should take the opportunity to go to the next level and to start learning how to expand his game as an individual basketball player as well as an NBA player for a team. And I got to tell you, I think it would be in Cody Zeller's best interest to go. Is he ready to go? Is he ready to go? I don't know, but, you know, I'm wondering if he won't get the skill teaching he needs if he goes now. If he doesn't go, I'm just not sure he's going to get what he needs at IU. Tom Crean and his staff do a great job of recruiting. They do a great job of getting guys to work hard and work to get better, but they're going to have to improve their player development if they're going to keep these players long-term. And if these kids that are pretty talented are going to learn how to be better basketball players. Folks, you can be a really good athlete and a good basketball player and get by for a long time. But if you're going to get to your highest level, you've got to get better. Michael Jordan went and left North Carolina. He really needed to. The North Carolina offensive philosophy did not benefit Michael Jordan to the highest level that he would soon become. Now, Michael Jordan had the work ethic too. But you've got to keep trying to get better. And coaches either expand their staff, and in this day and age they can hire all these people to do all. I don't know that I'm hiring an AAU player broker to be on my staff, although that's what teams are doing for recruiting purposes. But you got to make sure they have coaches who want to teach as well. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show. My gut feeling is they go, and my emotional feeling is we'd love them to stay, but they probably need to go. It's probably best for them to go. What about some of the other players? We'll have to talk about that in the future. I do want to mention the LaSalle-Wichita State game. You know, LaSalle went with the small lineup, and it worked for them early, but they came against a Wichita State team who is strong, who is physical, who rebounds, who shoots, who has quickness, who are sound. Missouri Valley Conference teams are. But I got to tell you something. I am in shock at how well Wichita State has played. And let's give that conference some credit. Evansville, U of E, under Coach Marty Simmons, the Aces are still alive in the CBI.com tournament. You can say, well, that's the lowest of the low tournaments. They're still alive. It's an MVC team. They're still playing. So Missouri Valley basketball is solid. Atlantic 10 is solid. You know, a question coming up for a future show, as we have about a minute and a half left, is Butler. How's Butler going to fare in this new Big East conference? Don't know. What happened to Miami? You know, I'll give Marquette a lot of credit, but here's what I think happened in that Miami game. I watched almost the entire game. Miami just didn't shoot the ball well. They just didn't shoot the ball well. Folks, we got about a minute left in our live portion of the show, but we'll probably continue on for a few minutes because I do want to talk a little bit about Miami. You know, they were a team that's kind of a little different. They had some older players on the team. They were a veteran team. Of course, Shane Larkin is a younger player, but they just did not shoot the ball well. I thought they worked hard. I thought though, as they were missing those shots, and then they started the second half and continued to miss them, I thought they did what a lot of teams do. They lose their focus, and they start shooting threes instead of going inside and getting twos, getting to the line. And with 10 minutes left in the game, they were able to shoot two bonuses, and they didn't take advantage of it. So, you know, it's that. It's a tough game. It's a tough game. Michigan, give them credit. They're still alive. A lot of people are on me about my thoughts on Michigan, but I haven't changed. I still don't think they're going to – they get to the Final Four, I'm going to be sucking wind here, and I'm going to be eating crow. But I do not think this is a team – if it does not shoot well, they will not win. And you can say, well, teams don't win if they don't shoot. That's not true. But this team won't because they don't know how to produce points in the paint. I'll tell you what, folks – It's been a great start to the Sweet 16. We've got Syracuse advancing over Indiana. We've got Wichita State over LaSalle. We've got Ohio State advancing. Marquette advancing. Those are going to be some great games. Give Thad Matta and his staff a lot of credit. They took that team and they moved them forward. They definitely moved them forward. They got better as the year went on. Indiana had a great year. Michigan's still alive. The Big Ten's well represented. Does anybody know where Kentucky is? Oh. Oh, that's right. Kentucky's not in it. We're laughing about that. Appreciate you joining us. Joe will be back next week. We'll have a full version of the show as we get ready for the Final Four. Great games are going on today. Are you a Florida Gulf Coast fan? What an amazing run by that team. You know, I did pick them to beat Georgetown. People say, well, why would you do that? Because they had beaten Miami early in the year. And if you look at my posts on Facebook, if you listen to what I talked about after the NCAA draw, I thought Georgetown was a pretender. I thought Georgetown would go out early. I'd watched them play several times, and I just didn't think they'd get it done when they needed to get it done. I think John Thompson does a great job. In fact, I think he did it with mirrors. I think they got some good players, but they didn't have the complete team they needed. I think they did a great job in the conference. Rick Pitino in Louisville, still alive, playing good basketball. He's got them where they need to be, but I tell you what, Stephen Smith, They can take you to the promised land, or they can make you fall quickly. But it'll be fun to watch. You've got great coaches, great programs, great teams. And it's going to be an exciting run. Thanks for joining us on the show. I love this time of year. I love NCAA basketball hoops. I love basketball, period. Again, Joe, I hope you have a safe trip back from Florida. I'm sure you're in the air now. And whether you're an IU fan, Kentucky fan, Purdue fan, Ball State fan, they're looking for a coach right now, Michigan fan, Illinois fan, who did better in the tournament than I thought they would do, Ohio State Buckeye fan, hey, be proud of the season. It was a great one. This game, as easy as it looks, it's tough. And remember, you might have the ball in your hands, but there's somebody trying to stop you. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.
Hey, this is Coach Schulteis, Coach Ken Schulteis of the Coach K and Joe Show. I want to wish everybody a very happy Easter. And remember the reason for it, the joy that comes from the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy it with your family and your friends, and give thanks that someone else cared enough about you to give their life. Have a great Easter.